punches and cost your life, your pasta. I'm sorry, we have to shop right where we're hitting the some of the big Karbanos topics, but it's Od Chazon LaMoed. Today I'll probably have to be just a little shorter than usual also, because I have some family things to attend to. So I'm going to try to do is just go through some of the Marmakomas that I gave you, and to look at, and to just speak in a little more general terms about some of the topics. Incidentally, I might add that in the first volume of the Kol Tzvi, which is the Kol Elyon journal, so when we did this about, we did these topics in Zvachim about, I don't remember what it was, 13 years ago or so. So one of my Talmidim, Rav Shalom Rosner, wrote a piece on Asham, which had a lot to do with our these topics and the exchanges between him and between me and some of these issues. So he has a lot of these Marmakomos, and he has some of his own additional Haros. So if we don't get to some of the details, that's a good place to fill in some of the Marmakomos that we don't get to. He speaks about them. And again, I didn't get a chance, but I know that in people have told me that I've looked at seeing Sefer and Zvachim, that he also has a couple of pieces on Asham. Again, that Sefer came out after, and I just wanted to work out my own things. I never kind of really looked at it, but one of these days I will soon. But again, these are certainly two excellent ways just to get more information on other topics too, but particularly the issue of Asham, which we began. So just in terms of our own Marmakomos, so basically what I've been trying to explain, actually before I start, let me just make one other quick aura. I keep forgetting, Elliot brought to my attention, the Das Kenan Balei Tosis, it also appears in the Hodar Zakenim, another collection of Balei Tosis Halatora, have a remarkable line of Nirtzalov Lechaper Alav, the Kapara of Ola. There the suggestion is made by some of the Balei Tosis that Ola will be Mechaper in a situation where you violated a lav sheish bakares, but you weren't aware of it. In other words, if you have suffek whether if you know vadai that you violated, that you ate kalev, then you have to bring korban chatos. If you have a suffek whether you ate kalev or shuman, then you bring an ashim talui. What happens if you're vadai sure that you ate shuman, but in fact you ate kalev? So the Balei Tosis suggests that that's what v'nir tzolo l'chaper alav does. It protects you, or it's a mechaper even, for a chatas shelo, a kiyuv chatas shelo hoda. So that's a very remarkable kiddush. Again, I think it belongs to the world of Balei Tosis in that, again, the Rash and the Moshe Zakenim that we talked about, in that they think that the kapara of asay, an ola, is comparable, that it's not qualitatively different from that of the chatas when it comes to Laban. So even the ability to, overstep boundaries from one to the other emerges as a possibility as well. That's just, I think, also interesting and ironic that, again, you have the discussion whether chatas can be mechaper esen, whether it ends up being only mikufya, but that's one issue. And then it turns out, according to this, the symmetry is that you have a korban ola, which is mechaper, on a lav sheish bo kares, to some extent. So that interchangeability, to me, bespeaks of like a single approach to kapara, albeit with different mechanisms of chatchila, but that the fact that you have fallback positions points, I think, in that direction. That's our number one. The second thing I wanted to mention, just very briefly, was something that Itamar mentioned to me the other day. He's actually not here, so but. Itamar has his ways, and he's pointed out correctly at Ramban, which I'm familiar with, the Ramban of Dalet Amud Aleph and Shabbos, in the topic of Chatei Kadesha Tezaka Chavercha. The Gemara in Shabbos on Rediyah Bapas has this whole discussion whether or not you're allowed to intervene to save someone from violating a Chiyuv Chatos. In that context, the Balei Tosis and the rest of the Rishonim discuss the question right? Important halachic hanashkafic question. When do we say chatei kadesh tzaka chavercha? You should violate on a lesser level, right, to safeguard your neighbor from violating in a more chamor manner. Obviously, that's a very, very important question of kol yisrael areivim zeh lazeh, and there are different principles that are adduced by the different rishonim. So, among other things, the Ramban there has a actually, if you can get on the computer for a second, the Ramban there talks about you know, how it is that the kohanim can violate the aseh of hashlama in order to bring a korban, in order to bring a korban mechusrei kapara for someone erev Pesach after the tamid shalbein arbayim, in order to be machshir him for the aseh sheish bakares of korban Pesach. Isn't that chatei kadesh tzaka chavercha and so on and so on. That's Tosis's this one second. That's the Ramban and Tosis's. We'll just have to take this. So the question is again how to draw that line. So the Ramban is, it's a very interesting, you have it there? Dalet Oman Aleph? He has a very interesting line where he says, well, when it comes to one second. Actually, there's a line earlier also, but how do you do this? Page down, right? So on. There's also the steers whether you can say this or not. So one of the questions, b'tochem shekoyin over al asay da ashlam makrav korban b'chutzri kaparim ver pesach kedei shel yabu chaver l'dei sekares. The ikal amem is this a very striking line. The ikal amem reshaini kohen and deshlucha yisrael shavin rachmana ve'en yochal azakos bad. That's one. Inami shiny hidbik pas betanur b'shogei is trying to explain that that in the case of hidbik pas betanur, which is the case there in Shabbos, since it's a since the avera that the fellow will violate is the avera b'shogei, the lav isurhu she'efshar lo lehiskaper b'chatas ve'en rediyasa el ischuslo she'ipater me'akorban. That is a very striking line, which you know, seems to be much too extreme, the idea that somehow if you can bring a korban chatas, then you know somehow that completely neutralizes the avera. Interestingly, that's one Ramban. Interestingly, the Ramban earlier in that sugya, and in another extreme, suggests that the issue that you want to save the person for when it comes to Rudia Sapas on Shabbos is not so much the Maisa Avera as it is the Chiyuv Chatas. V'lav mil sahi, the kibud mishum Chiyuv Chatas kami boile, v'lo mipnei chilul Shabbos, kumoy doile, mimele leka Chiyuv Chatas, v'hayin shogeg v'idkar. And then he repeats it again. Hodak shino lahodar idkar mi mechayiv, kar perashu lamala dochkar mi mechayiv lahavi chatas mamish, v'tir lo lardosa, lipatra meosa chiyuv, v'holo mechayiv l'olam chatas kibud kamidkar. So then this Ramban, just trying to point out, Dalid in Shabbos has two extreme formulations that are not opposites exactly, but they're quite different. One is separating the Chiyuv Chatas as some advantage to neutralizing a Chiyuv Chatas, even if there still will be a Maisa Avera or a Chilul Shabbos. That's one. And the other is that the idea that since something is Nitan L'Kapara Al Yedei Chatas, That it sounds like that neutralizes the Avera completely. More likely, the Ramban is saying that it's a shiur, and the kind of Avera is the fact that it's something which is nitan the kapara ayidei chatas tells you that its violation b'shogeg is different. That these are important formulations for the issue of how we understand zono, kares, shigaso chatas and the nature of chiyuv chatas and what it signifies. You just wonder whether or not you'd say parallel things in the context of, for example, Ola and Asham in either direction. These are issues to look at. Okay. The what we tried to say with regard to Asham so far is that both in terms of the Parshios and the Torah in Vayikra, the connection between Olav Yored as kind of a, you know, leading up to Asham with the language of Asham and an actual Asham discussing the Ramban and then it's Siv, the absence of Asham in the context of the Nisim, that other Ramban, the nature of the cases of Asham, Me'ila, Shivka Harufa, Shuasa Pikadam, of course, Asham Nazir, Asham Mitzorah, Asham Talui. The question is what the relationship between those six are as well. Again, the Mishnah has them all together in Zvachim. The question is whether they all one unit. We'll get to that in just a second. But the general idea that I've been trying to portray is that there are two approaches here. One is that Asham is very much like Chatas, and we find in many Gemaras that they're both Bala Chaper. They're contrasted to Ola, as we've discussed. Of course, this is highlighted in particular by the position of Rabbi Eliezer. On the other hand, some indications that it's closer also, or it has a side of Ola. That if you examine both the language of the Torah, Asham, and Ramban's explanation of it, the focus on Mezid, my suggestion that all the cases of Asham are really hybrids. And by virtue of the fact that they're hybrids, that has two points of significance. Number one, does either factor in its own right really justify the kind of Maisa Veira which should bring a Korban? And if not, so what this idea of a combined piecemeal Aveira, what does that mean? So maybe the idea again is that there's a certain experience that the individual has had which triggers a Chovas Kaparas Hagavra. And in the sense that the Korban is Bala Chaper, the Mechayev is Kapara, the Mechayev is a particular experience or Maisa which triggers that obligation. In that sense, Asham is like Kapas, and the method of the Kapara and what it addresses and the fact that it's not so narrowly focused and may not even have the impact of completely neutralizing the Aveira, or maybe it's an Aveira doesn't need to be neutralized in that way. In that sense, it's more like Ola. That's really the basic suggestion. That explains the cases. It also explains if Asham Talui is really not an exceptional Asham, but a typical Asham, which we discussed a little bit. There's much more to talk about. But obviously, in the case of Asham Talui, there is no Maisa Veira. There's a Safek Maisa Veira. One could say, like some of the Mefarshim do, that the fact that you are in a position or a state a state in which you don't know whether you violated, that in itself constitutes not just a lack of knowledge, but a certain, you know, status of being an avarian, you know, at minimum, in terms of the, I guess, the pshia component of it. But the point is that if Asham Tolu is a typical Asham, it's certainly absent Maisa Veira, and it would be critical in establishing the nature of Asham. So this is what we've been suggesting. We just want to pursue this across several other issues. Again, Rashi Prakim in the time that we have. We talked about the Nedarim and the Davos, and the fact that Asham Toli may be subject to Nedarim, to Neder, not Nedava, and whether or not you view the whole category of Asham as Nitan, the Neder, the Nedava, as opposed to Chatas. Normally we assume that it's together with Chatas, that's our Gemara, and Hey. The Gemara and Daf the Yudim and Beis discusses this, but as we pointed out, the Tur and others here and there seem to zero in on the possibility that since Asham Talui is part of the Asham list, that Asham in general is in that sense Nitan. So that says two things. Number one, it says that Asham Talui is part of the It's not an exception. It's it characterizes the entire group. It also tells us at the same time that it dominates that characterization, and that even though lemaisa there's no neder or nedava, in most cases of asham, that in principle there is it's something that's nitan. And then of course you have to be mechalek between lemaisa and when it's nitan and in what sense, etc. So that's one very important issue. The other question to consider, and this is a big topic, but we're just going to touch it for a few minutes, is the question of la'achamisa and nitak l'ri'iya. So the Gemara here on Ayam Beis, and the parallel Gemaras in other places, right, in Menachos and in Tmura, right, we have a whole bunch of other makoros for this issue. The idea that asham shemeis balav is nitak l'ri'iya, that it can turn into an ola. What's clear is that midrabanan, it's only midrabanan that we can't take this carbon itself and transform it or convert it into an ola. I mean, at Torah you'd be able to do that. What's not clear is the other point, and that is, what do we mean when we say nitak l'ri'iya? Does the nituk, is that also only a din drabanan, or is that perhaps a din daraisa? So I think there are really two issues here. Number one, as the Gemara formulates it here and elsewhere, there's a certain parallel between chatos and asham here that needs analysis. We say kol shechatos mesos, right? Asham is roeh. So on the one hand, kachatos kaasham appears to be, you know, being applied here. We're comparing chatos and asham, which puts asham in the camp of chatos. On the other hand, the difference between chatos mesos, which are going to be subject to Misa, and the fact that you can, Minat Torah at least, turn this actual behema into a real carbon, that's the other side of the coin. So the equation itself, or the parallel, is in a way a double-edged sword. Maybe it depends on what we mean by nituk, and this is a much bigger topic, which I just, you know, if I have time later on, it's not looking like I'm going to today, so it should be pursued more fully. In the brief part of the story, we know there's a major machlokus between Rashi and Bali Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam. Right? Rashi's of the opinion that even though Minat Torah you can use the same korban, right, there's a need for nituk. And what that nituk is, Rashi in different places tells us different things, whether it's a proclamation to Bezdin, or it's Mesira Leroa, or it's both. Right? Rashi in the different places has different views, but Rashi in Zvachim and in Menachos and in Vayikra and in Tmur, Rashi in all the places takes the position that a asham doesn't automatically turn into an ola the second that it's not functional as an asham, but rather you have to convert it into an asham. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and again there are different formulations of Rabbeinu Tam itself. I was going to go into them, but we just don't have time right now. But you look them up in Zvachim and in Psachim and in Nazir and in Tura and in Sefer Yashar. Rabbeinu Tam's position is that the requirement of Nituk, like the requirement of Pidyon, of Roa and Poda, is only a Din Drabana. But that Minat Torah, Asham automatically converts into an Ola. Now, it's conceivable that that argument is quite independent of what we're discussing right now. Is this possible? The question is, if the din is that, you know, an asham can turn into an ola, so, you know, it's conceivable that that needs an act of convert, you know, kind of a siluk of the shame asham before you, you know, turn it into an ola, or just to turn it into an ola requires an act of conversion. And there is that debate between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, no matter what you say about the relationship between Asham and Ola. Having said that, is it possible, if there's an Ola aspect to every Asham, let's say at least the scope or the way that we look at the Kaparas Asham shares something in common, you know, with Ola, in the sense that it's maybe triggered by a particular experience, but it relates to the totality of Tshuvas HaGavra or Kaparas HaGavra or Maimed HaGavra. So is it possible that every Asham, you know, has in it, you know, a little bit of Ola, maybe a lot of Ola, And therefore, when it's when you take away the, you know, the possibility of realizing its destiny as an asham, so automatically it doesn't need to be converted to ola. It is an ola. In which case, if that's the case, you might say that that gufa is the argument between the rishon. That's if you think that ola is implicit already in asham, so then there's no need for conversion. On the other hand, if you think that asham lechud and ola lechud, then maybe it's really necessary to convert the one into the other. Again, not mukhrak at all. The other argument, you could have said it in the opposite way too. I think this makes more sense. But just to be, again, the devil's advocate, one could have said the opposite. One could have said that to the extent that, you know, asham and ola represent a single continuum, so the problem isn't so much converting into ola. It's, you know, the fact that something is royal ola doesn't necessarily mean that it's no longer, you know, an asham. So to get rid of the shem asham, you need sila. That would be the other way to say it. The reason I like the first way much better, if I have the choice, is because why the need to be mesalek the shem asham at all? The truth is, why not just say that asham can express itself as an ola? Which brings us to the other point. In addition to machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and the various versions of that, which is suggesting maybe a fundamental argument, I think Achronim say this across the board, or might be more of a technical argument. So there is another issue, and that is the extent to which the shame asham continues to apply, notwithstanding nitak l'ri'i. And I think if you are menatek, is there still a remnant of shame asham? Mashal l'mad avardoma, but you might be mechalek. Again, we talked about Mosar HaPesach. And actually, in Sugya and Pesachim, there is a connection between the discussion of Mosar Pesach Shlamim and the idea of Nitak L'Ri'iyah when it comes to Asham turning into an Ola. So that's the discussion of the Shittim Kubetzes that was picked up also by a lot of Achronim, but the Shittim Kubetzes in Tmura talks about this question. Let's say you take you have a situation of Asham Shemes Baila, and it's Nitak L'Ri'iyah, and then you are Makrovit L'shem Asham instead of L'shem Ola. Is that considered to be a Chisaron of Shinui Baila? So the question seems to be, is there a shame, does the shame Asham continue to cling to the Ola, right, notwithstanding the conversion? Now, it could be that that depends on whether you hold like Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam. But assuming that that can apply even within Rashi, so it's a particularly interesting argument, because it's after the Nitu, and yet you still have the shame Asha. So ironically, here what you would say, I think, is the more you view the conversion of an Asham into an Ola as something natural, because already inhering in any Asham is an Ola component, so then there's no Stira. Right? You can, you know, even if now you're, you know, treating it as an ola, so the fact is it's an asham ola, right? If you think asham lechud, ola lechud, and the only way to be makar of this as an ola is to banish, right, the shame asham, then there's absolutely no reason why we should treat the issue of lishma differently in this case than in any other case. Again, unless you want to go back to another issue, an issue that the Griz talked about with regard to Tara Aduma. And that is, what depends on the hafrasha, and what depends on the hakrava. As he pointed out there, the name of the grach as well, right? Paraduma is hufrash as bedek abayis, but it's hukrav as chatas. And we talked about the parallel again when it comes to mosar pesach shlamim. Here too, you have something which is hufrash as an asham. The question is, what happens to it afterwards? Okay. A problem here that Achronim point out is that if you want to say Asham is unique, the relationship between Asham and Ola is something that is unusual, if you want to say that, and it has to do with the fact that Asham to begin with includes a component of Ola, so then the problem with that is that we find something parallel regarding Chatas. Right? Mosar Chatas, let's say you're Mafresh Chatas, and then you lose it, so you Mafresh another Chatas in its place, because it's Nitan Bachrayas, and then you find the other one, so only one Chatas is obviously brought. So the Mosar Katas, in the case of Achrayas, is going to be Roa Achistai Miyavi Midamav Ola. So once that's true, and the Gemara seems to compare that halacha to Ola, to Asham, sorry, to Mosar Asham being Ola. So once we have the notion that a Katas can turn, at least on a Damim level, into an Ola, how significant is it that an Asham can turn into an Ola? So there, I think there are several approaches. Again, I think I want to speak about this. Number one, again, depending on whether you hold in general like Rashi or Tam, because even if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, let's say that you don't need an act of Nito when it comes to Asham, right, that wouldn't be the case when it comes to Chatas. Well, Chatas, you also have just another problem in terms of the gender of the carbon, right? But the point I'm trying to make is that while these halachos may look the same, they may not be the same. And it's possible that the din of Achrayus, of Mosar Asham and Mosar Chatas in general, is different than Chatos, Hamesos, and Ashamos, Shamesos. And here again is a ha'ara that the I think Acharonim point out is that the Rambam, I have it here on the Marmakomos, speaks about these two dinim in Psuli HaMuknashim, but he speaks about them in two different halachos, right? In one in Perek, I think I gave you the wrong Perek number. I think it's really Perek Dalid. I'm going to say Psuli HaMuknashim Dalid, Yud Dalid, and Chaf Aleph.
That's
halacha yudal. Then you have halacha chafalet. Mishin the sky of Asham tali v'hifresh shneim achrayas. V'skaper be'echad Hashem yirat sheipol b'mum yipul dam v'dava. Ain tzar chomer ba'asham v'adai shehu kam. So the Rambam seems to have separated the din of achrayas and the din of mesos. And the contrast to Chatas applies in Mesos. So the point may be that in the case of Achrayas, it's just a technical halacha. Now, when you have, you can't have two Chatos, you can't have two Ashamos. The second that you have two, so one of them, you know, is not really, the Gemara uses the expression, you know, Mafreya, Mikar, or Mikarolesa. So when it comes to two, Meirosh, before you're even Makriv one, so then we consider it to be kind of a tos or something of that sort, and that can apply to Chatas and to Asham. But the idea that something that remains an Asham that isn't a tos can convert into an Ola, that's something where the contrast to Chatas is going to be felt more strongly. That's how some Achronim explain the two halachos that on the one hand we have the Mishnah in Shkalim, Vav Dalet, the Medrash of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, that Ba Mishum Chatas V'Yashar Geni Lachach V'Dam Aval. That's the halacha of Mosar in the case of Achrayas. And again, I've seen some few Achronim make this har. I think it's Samas and others make it. That's one halacha, and then you have the halacha of Moshe Misinai that Kol Shem V'Chatos Nesos Asham is Roa. So it seems like these, one is a halacha Moshe Sinai, and one is a drasha, a medrash of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol. But they just overlap, aren't they both saying that in the case of Asham, well, they don't overlap at one point, and that's the Chatas. Mosar Chatas is different than Chatos and Mesos. The question is whether or not Mosar Asham isn't just the same halacha as Asham Shemes Bal. But the point may be, and that's what seems to be true for the Rambam, is that maybe these are just two different dinim, and if they're two different dinim, then if they're two different dinim, then we understand why they're separate. Okay, so that's in terms of the question of lachamisa. Somebody have a question? Okay. So again, just to sum up, the question of chatos mesos and asher mesos, the parallel on the one hand and the contrast on the other. And then the question is how it works. How does the nituk l'ri'iyah work? Is the nituk drabanan or daraisa? Does nituk imply that, or lack of nituk imply, as the case may be, that implicit in every asham there already is an ola? Maybe that gufa determines whether you A, you need nituk, or what kind of nituk you need, how radical a nituk you need. Moreover, does that also determine whether or not there's a complete siluk from the original state of asham? If you can still talk about a hyphenation, asham slash ola, again, that works better with the idea that asham and ola can be a single entity, unless it's simply the chiluk between hafrasha and hakrava. And then the question of how you work mosar chatas into that as well. Okay, let's talk about kedima. I'm just going to go in the order of the maramakoma so this will be easier. Let's talk about kedima. So mostly kedima we talked about already. I think the big issue in kedima is to figure out the following problem. Right, on the one hand, the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to chatas and ola, as we already discussed, that the reason that chatas, dam chatas, is called the dam ola is because it's bal lechaper. And that's why we discuss it in the context of ola, the implication being that ola is not lechaper, and how the various mefarshim understand it. At the same time, when it comes to the relationship between chatas and asham, and asham and ola, right, things seem to be a little inconsistent. Because we would have thought that, if you look at asham, if asham's kapara is like that of chatas, so then the discrepancy between asham and ola, asham should be kodem la'ola based on ba'al chaper, just like chatas is ba'al chaper. Yet the Gemara doesn't say that. Right, the Gemara gives other explanations why Asham is maybe, it's a suffix in the Gemara whether Asham is Kodem La'ola. We'll get that in just a second. And the Gemara gives different explanations why that should be so. Why did they simply say because Asham like Chatos is Mechaper? It was good enough reason for Chatos. It should be a good enough reason for Asham. At the same time, if the answer to that question is, oh, we see from here that Asham is not really Ba'al Chaper, or at least not bala chaper in a qualitatively different way from ola to such an extent that it would explain the kedima, right? So then how come when the Mishnah explains the kedima of chatas to asham, why doesn't it say, just like it's said by ola, that chatas is better than asham because chatas is bala chaper and asham is not, or at least sufficiently not. Now that second question, of course, is the question that Shita Mekubetzes asks in the very end of the piece that we already discussed. He says, how come you don't say the difference between chatas and asham is ba'al chaper? His answer is, oh, it is, you know, asham's ba'al chaper too. Much more, the discrepancy of ba'al chaper for chatas and asham is smaller than it is for chatas and ola, and therefore it's not justified. And as I say, that begs the question, so why not say that that's the reason to distinguish between asham and ola, and we don't say that either. So this is the problem. This is the problem. When the Gemara talks about the relationship between asham and ola, it doesn't zero in on the factor of mechaper. The Rambam also is important here. The Rambam was to meet in Perek Tes Halacha Hey, paskins that ola and asham is a toss-up, and you can do whatever you want. And all the Nasa Kalim have trouble with that psak and the Rambam. It's true, it's a bayit leif shita, or whatever. That means you, or it's a suffix in the Gemara, but some people think that the Gemara was poshated in the end. If you look at the Nasa Kalim, they have a discussion of all of this. The fact is that the Rambam's toss-up is just very, very intriguing. If you look at the Nosa Kalim al Atar, they say different things. They're bothered partially by this question as well. The Mari Kurkus, for example, suggests that really the difference between Chatos and Asham is not regarding Kapara. The difference is that Chatas has two qualifications. Number one, kapara, and number two, the question of Dalet Karmas. Asham only has one, kapara. Therefore, since Ola has Kalil, so it's a one against one, and it's a toss-up, and you can do whatever you want. That's the Mari Korkas's suggestion. Radvaz, on the other hand, says something different. Radvaz says, it's true that Asham is Mechaper, but the Kaparas Asham is not qualitatively the same as the Kaparas Chatas, and therefore, when it comes to a contest between Chatas and Ola, Chatas wins hands down. When it comes to Asham and Ola, though Asham is also Mechaper, that less Kapara, right, doesn't establish a clear victory vis-a-vis Ola. Again, that's a quantitative thing, or more likely, that reflects a certain qualitative approach. And again, if you look at the Gemaras in the different places, so we understand that this is not such a dis and not such a davar pasha. Again, the Rabbi Elazar and Chacham and Mishnah, which we'll get to in a second, the Mishnah and Nembav, question of L'shem Chet. Here, of course, one should add the Ha'ara of the Radvaz, right? The Radvaz and Nochas Maizar Karbanos. We talked about the first or second of the Shiurim, who says that Stam Lishma doesn't apply to Chatas and to Asham. So again, in certain things, Chatas and Asham are grouped together. The Gemara Mem Tesom and Beis. I'm sorry, the Gemara on Nun Amud Aleph. Right, Malahanoch Shehein Mechaprim. On the other hand, you know, in sugyas like Peites and Mem Tesom and Beis, Malachata Shem Mechaperes Al Chai VeKrisus, there the Gemara specifically is Mechalek between Chatas and Asham. It sounds like the Dvarim for which it's Mechaper, this is important to our analysis before, define the nature of the Kapara itself. The Gemara in Samach Gimel, Malachata Shem Mechaperes as opposed to Mala Asham Shekein Bineidam. There are all sorts of Gemaras that imply that we're talking about one and the same, that they're together, and others not. So again, they're both Mechaper. Maybe the question is quantitative, maybe the question is qualitative. If it's qualitative, so the question is, which issues depend on being triggered by a particular Meiser experience, right, and the nature of the korban as something which is bal lechaper, which Asham certainly is, as opposed to Ola, let's say, where it's not bal lechaper, as we tried to explain, there may be kiyum kapara as well. Moreover, it isn't a particular maisa, right, even a particular lav shendita klase or whatever. I mean, these are symptoms, but they're not the trigger, they're not the mechayev, you can never really differentiate them. It could be that certain issues depend on one, and certain issues depend on the other. Having said that, getting back to something I said the other day, oftentimes when the Gemara differentiates between Chatas and Asham, it highlights it by talking about the Dalet, the Karnos, or you know, other such Zrika differences. Are those completely unrelated to the question of Kapara? Are they themselves, since Zrika is the Davar HaMechaper, in the process of the avoda, are they themselves ways of saying, you know, the super zrika is in chatas? And this is a way of highlighting, yes, compared to Ola, Asham Balachaper, but compared to chatas, with its zrika, Dalet Karnos, with its zrika, Lamala, Michuta Sikra, with its, you know, cases of, you know, Dam Shenichas Bifnim, with its psul, therefore, of chatos, chetzonios, which are nifsal when they're nichnas lepnim. Because these aren't just another din. These are halachos that themselves reflect on the role, on the different role of kapara in this context. So there's more to say, but the question of how to understand that sugya in Peites and Aleph and parallel sugyas is relevant to this question. It could very well be that this is goof of the argument between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Speak about that for a few minutes. This depends, I think, on two issues. Number one, it's very hard to pin down, but what is the makor of Rabbi Eliezer? The Gemara here, again, we know the machlokas in the Mishnah, whether Asham Shalom Lishma is ma'akev or not. Question is, what is the nature of that machlokas? Is it a limited machlokas about Lishma? And when we started Asham the other day, we framed the question this way. Right? Rabbi Lazar seems to take the position based on two assumptions. Number one is that the kapara of Asham is comparable to the kapara of Chatas, at least vis-a-vis the question of Lishma. Number two, that Lishma, again, is defined by the factor of kapara. The Chacham could disagree with both, but they might only disagree with one. Right? They might say that you can't compare. It's true that the equivalent Lishma has to do with kapara, for Chatas at least, not for Pesach. And Lu Yitzuyar, that Asham and Chatas were mechaper in the same way, then in Achanami we would treat them the same way with regard to the psul of Lishma. But the fact is that they're not, that maybe vis-a-vis Ola, but not vis-a-vis Chatas, Asham pales, Asham's a different kind of mechaper completely. Or it could be that if the Chacham were to say, were to concede that it depends on Kapara, they would agree that Asham and Chatas are the same. But who says that the Koach Kapara is the Mechayiv, that's the basis for the Psul of Lo Lishma? Maybe that's the assumption that is incorrect. So one of the things that needs to be analyzed is whether or not, and it's just not so pindownable, there are a few Makaros, but what is the scope and nature of Lachlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chacham? Does Rabbi Lazar, who says Kachatas Ka'asham, right here, does he think, you know, that whenever it's possible, we assume Asham is like Chatas? Right, again, there are certain things that are undeniable. There are certain things in the Psukim that are undeniable. No one's going to say, Epstein. Again, the Gemara had a Havamina about the Malam Mechata Sikra, which is fascinating. But there are certain other issues where it seems clear that Chatas is different than Asham, even according to Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar considers those things to be trivial or peripheral or quantitative or Xeris HaKasuvs. That's one way to look at it. Or no, maybe we're looking at Rabbi Lazar the wrong way. Maybe Rabbi Lazar doesn't disagree so much with the Chacham. He just thinks when it comes to issues of Kapara or Lishma, maybe a couple of other things, that there's Xeris HaKasuv, Kachatas Ka'asham, without denying that Chatas and Asham are very different types of Kapara. The opposite degree, the opposite direction. What about the Chachamim? Right? The Chachamim think that Ein Adome Asham to Chatas. Here and there, there may be Exer Sakasu, Kachatas, Kasham, where there's a limud one to the other. But that limud doesn't mean that the Bechayiv is similar, the Kapara is similar. On the contrary, left on your own, you would assume Kapara, you would assume Asham to be as different as it could be from Chatas, or no? It's just in the context here or there, things like the Shema, etc. But the Chachamim also are of the opinion that there's a comparison between Asham and Chatas. Again, this is a bigger topic. We don't have so much time to do it right now. Let's just say a couple of things very, very quickly. Okay, number one, there's a discussion in the Gemara on Yud Amud Aleph through Yud Amud Beis about the Limudim. About the limudim of Rabbi Eliezer, and it could be that it just depends on what that is. It kachatas kasham, is it another gzeres hakasu? It could be that the makar will dictate the scope of Rabbi Lazar's halacha. Okay, that's one possibility. It should also be noted, and it's well known by the Achronim certainly, that the Tosefta, when he quotes the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't quote it the way the Mishnah quotes it. Right, in the Mishnah, we're told that Kol Hazvachim Shilu Kol Shom Shemin Shalom Ban Shilu Kol Tepesu Akatas Rabbi Lazar Me'af Asham Pesach Bizmano Katas Asham Bekol Zomra Alzar Katas Baal Aket Asham Baal Aket Machatas Psula Shalol Shema Pashim Psula Shalol Shema. The Tosefta reads differently. I'm Rabbi Lazar Katas Baal Aket Asham Baal Ashma Machatas Psula Shalol Shema Pashim Pasul Shalol Shema. So this Baal HaAshma, the acknowledgement already that even according to Rabbi Lazar, there may be a difference between an Asham or Ashma and Chet, just that there's a parallel, not that they're identical. That's important, A. B, what is the Limud? C, what is the scope? What is the scope of this halacha? So we know that they argue about Lishma. What about... One second. We know that they argue about Lishma. What about the other issues? So... the Gemara itself says that... again, the Gemara had a Havamina that maybe Asham, according to Rabbi Lazar, would be obligated to do Zrika L'malo Michut HaSikra. The Gemara rejects that, but it's certainly a very radical Kachatas Ka'asham idea. The Mishnah has the discussion about whether there's a psul of Knisas Dam Bifnim. The Knisas Dam Bifnim applies to Katas. So, does it apply also to Asha? Right? According to Rabbi Lazar, Kachatas, Ka'asham, applies in that circumstance as well. So that would seem to be a very, very significant application. The Sugyan Tmura discusses the problem of Nitak L'Re'iyah. And we paskin like the Chachamim, and therefore we say that Asham tin nitak l'ri'iyah. Asham is nitak l'ri'iyah, and it becomes an ola. But according to the Sugya and Tmura, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that Asham shemeis sabalov, like chatas, is meis. Now some are shown in there take the view that that's only a dinder rabbanan. Others, Rashi and so on, think that that's a din d'oraisa. So once again, you have this argument about the scope of the applications of Lazar and Rachat. Now, it could be that the argument is about each individual context. Obviously, from a pattern, cumulative evidence perspective, the more we find machloksim between Lazar and the Chachamim, the more we might think that this is gufo what they're arguing about. That Rav Elazar thinks that Asham is like Chatas in its character, its nature, including its kapara. The differences are minor, right? They end up being, you know, where the Zrika takes place, Zrika be'etzba, you know, things of that sort. But basically, Asham is a subcategory of Chatas, whereas the Chachamim may very well be of the opinion that there's a fundamental difference between Asham and Chatas, despite the overlapping issues, you know, which they have common vis-a-vis Ola, and as such, you know, what do you do when there's no Gzeres HaKasim in terms of the issues of skull? Another issue which comes up is the question of Smicha. The Gemara on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, tells us that even the Chachamim derive the requirement of Smicha in Asham from Kachatas Ka'asham. Well, that's interesting. What's particularly fascinating about it is that there's a... that's the only Gemara, as far as we know, that... again, let's pull back for a second. The background is that the... in the Torah itself, Smicha is mentioned in the context of Chatas, and it's mentioned in context of Ola, but it's not specifically mentioned regarding Asha. But according to the Gemara, Aleph from an Aleph, the Limud, even according to Chachamim, is based on Kachatas Ka'asha. So number one, does that just mean... does that mean the Chachamim also believe in Kachatas Ka'asham, and all the times that they argue with Rabbi Lazar is for peripheral reasons or quantitative reasons? Or on the contrary, any Karban, you know, it applies to Ola and applies to Kachatas. You know, so, or it's just the Gzeres HaKasim. Which is the exception, which is the rule. Again, the fact that it's not a Mefurish Bakra may be relevant. I suggested that this is the point in Rashi. And to defend Rashi against the Shidduk of Etzel and Pei Tesem and Aleph when it comes to Shvichas Shirayim, right? If what do you mean Shvichas Shirayim is not Mefurish Bakra regarding Asha? Who cares? It's learned out from Chatas. We do care, perhaps. The question is it a Chatas aspect of Asham? Is it a import to Asham? Is it part of Asham itself? So too, even if you accept the view, which is Pashas of the Gemara, that there is Smicha the Asham, it's important to know that that derives, that its makar derives from Chatas. Just to, again, highlight it with another point, the idea that you require Tzafon Ba'asham is actually derived from Ola. Right? Food for thought. Okay. But with regard to Smicha, there's one other complication. That is, there's a Rashi in the Tosas, it's, again, subject to a lot of discussion in the Achronim, which seem to deny the Gemara. Right? Rashi in Nida, on the Ayin of an Aleph, right, seems to say that there's no smicha when it comes to Hashem. Tosas in Kiddushin, likewise, seems to have that position. So some of the Achronim, they're trying to explain it away. It doesn't mean that, it can't mean that, it's against an explicit Gemara. Eichon Matzino, that there's no smicha by Hashem. Can't be. The smicha for Chatos and the smicha for Ola, how can there not be smicha for Hashem? There's smicha for Shlamim, how can there not be smicha for Hashem? But the Rashash and others think that it's real and that there really is such a sheep. So, of course, the question is twofold. Number one, what do you do with the Gemara on Yud Aleph from an Aleph, which is explicit? And number two, how do you explain it logically? So I think the answer may very well be, again, it is against the Gemara Yud Aleph from an Aleph. There's no getting around that. But the question is, how comfortable are we with the Gemara Yud Aleph from an Aleph? I mean, the Gemara there is telling us that Kachatas, Kahasham, applies even according to the Rabbanah. So the Gemara undeniably says that. The question is, once you think that the argument between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim is not limited to Lishma, but applies also to Knisa Saddam Bifnim, right, and to Nitak, you know, Liriya as opposed to Nisa. Again, that's a Machlokes Rishonim, whether that's a Chiluk Daraisa or not. The point is that it could very well be that our Gemara here on Yud Aleph from Yud Aleph, right, is assuming that the argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar is a very limited one. But once you take the global, you know, perspective, which is that, well, there are other points of argument between them, so then applying Kachatas Ka'asham even to Marbe Smicha may not be such a Dabar Pasha. Maybe there are other indications that we shouldn't have that limud, you know, to unquestionably be Marbe. That's number one. Number two, of course, is, oh, what about the logical question? If both Asham and Ola have smicha, how can it be that Asham, I'm sorry, if both Chatos and Ola have smicha, how can it be that Asham, which is also Kachik and Ashim, and if anything has aspects of Chatos and aspects of Asham, Ola, how can it not have smicha? So I think it's a good question, but I think that there's also precedent, albeit it might be a different kind of precedent. That is, the Mishnah tells us in Menachos that in Korban Tzibor there's no smicha, with the exception of Sirah Mishtaleach and the Parhalim Davar Shal Tzibor. Look at the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos there. So the Rambam explains that in other Korbanos Tzibor, there's no smicha because there's no obvious person to do the smicha. So that always struck me. I thought that was just an interesting ka'ar of the Rambam. I mean, the contrast being that when it comes to Parhalim Davar Shal Tzibor, so Bezin isn't just a venue, Bezin is part of the Mechaye. That's part of the, if you look at the Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Pet, part of the story is, to what extent is Bezin a representative of Klal Yisrael, or Bezin is the real Mechayiv and the Mechaper and the Niskaper, Kafalt Horah, the toes of Bezin Hagadol. The Sir Mishalech and Yom Kippurim, so the Kohen Gadol is just a Shliach of Klal Yisrael, or in some respects, he's also the Bailam on the Korban, because his role on Yom Kippur is such, it's unique to who and what he is. And therefore, he's uniquely equipped, right, to be the Bailam here. It isn't just like a, you know, we need somebody. My point is that smicha may relate to a very particular kind of obligation. I'm not suggesting it's the same thing, but what I am suggesting is that when you have a kind of a mimonavsha, well, you have chatas smicha, and you have ola smicha. That doesn't necessarily mean that asha will have smicha. Smicha has to do with the particular nature and the particular character of the korban, and it's very possible that asham isn't just, you know, the overlap of chatas and ola. Obviously, if it has those overlapping elements, it's still a mechayev in its own right, and in its own right, because its own right is built on you know, the aspects or the dimensions of the other two, maybe it it doesn't have that kind of status to earn it. Mashal Madavar Doma, going back to the question that the Ramban raised, how come in the Nesiim we just don't have Asha, we have Chatas, we have Ola, we have Shlamim, we just don't have Asha. Right? So the Ramban's answer was, Asham is, you know, a form of Chatas, or it's Dabar Echad, therefore you have it. And what I was suggesting was, well, you do have it, because you have Chatas and Asha, you have Chatas and Ola, and between the two you have it. Or, maybe, you don't have Asham, because Asham is just a unique kind of an experiential karma. You have to actually experience, you can't have a category Asham, you have to have an experience of Asham. I think that, again, some of that, or some of those issues, may help you a little bit in trying to understand why Asham doesn't have Smicha. Yeah, you got a question?
Rashi on that, hey, I'm not Rashi, yeah. Comes to the Lotus, which is everything. The one of the but as a Rashi, because it was, that Smicha was different between Asham and Shlom. And the Asham Chata thing is that Rashi goes to
the Lotus. Because it does apply.
Based
on the Gemara, you're not allowed. Okay, so that's another issue in terms of Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim and the question of Smicha, etc. Okay, let me just zero in again. Part of this story, again in the Radvaz we talked about, the Griz and Psuli HaMukdashim, just to remind everybody, was suggesting two models to explain why it is a Chatas, so it's not Nitan. You know, Lebailim, to say, you know, all Lebailim Shem Chova but Kasher. One is that you know, Chatas doesn't have a fallback position. The other is based on its Shana Kosov La'akev, you know, type of issue in terms of its Kapara. So he was very bothered by Asham and felt that, oh, the only reason that Asham, even according to Chacham, don't have the Salacha is it's a kind of a Gzeres HaKasuv. I just want to highlight that, meaning which is the exception, which is the rule? That's the question. The Griz, at least there, is suggesting that really Asham is like Chatas, even according to the Chachamim. But it says Chatas he, right? Chatas below Asham, right? So that's Gzeres HaKasuv. But otherwise, the Rabbanan would agree with Rabbi Lazar. The fact that the Rabbanan embraced that Makar for Smicha and Yon Aleph Amid Aleph, from that point, I'm just giving you a perspective, it makes a lot of sense. But if you say, no, the whole point is that the Chachamim don't think that Chata is like Asha. Whatever overlapping there is overlapping, or it's that's the exception. So then you're going to look at Yud Aleph Amid Aleph as, wow, that's a big Kiddush, that Kachatas Ka'asham, at least, can be the Makar. And once you say that, things just have a whole different view, a whole different view on the matter. Okay. Let me just relate to the final issues on the Maram comments because I have to finish up. The Gemara Bava Metzia at Gimel Amud Beis has an interesting discussion about the relationship between Hodas Piv and that doesn't matter. Between Hodas Piv and Eidim. Hadas Eidim. No. So the Gemara at one point suggests that maybe you can prove that Hodas Piv is stronger than Hadas Eidim, by virtue of the fact that you bring a korban, right? You bring a chatas of hodas pir, but you wouldn't bring it for hadas edim. If the kote denies that he was involved in a chet, that he ate chelav, so you can't force him to bring a korban al yedei edim. So the Gemara says that's not true. Is there a Gemara there? Don't say that. The Gemara says that's not true. That depends on the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Okay. That depends on the machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And according to Rav Meir, there is a chid. Alamala pishkin mechayvo. 1 second. Yeah. Mala pishkin mechayvo korban. Torah be edim shem mechayvo nosa korban. It was halo kasha. Rav Chiya Rabbi Meir. Sfir leid amar edim mechayvo nosa korban. Mikal bechomer. Tan amar lo shayim mechalta chaylev. Korban lo mechalta yer meir mechayvo chachomim potru. Amar Rabbi Meir. Im if you shayim lede misa kamura lo yevi eul lede mit lede korban akal. Amar le mari mertzalim. I was based on a yisi etzer. Then the Gemara says, Ela ma'alepiv shekein mechaiva asham. So this is a strange Gemara. The Gemara seems to say, even, we just finished saying that according to Rabbi Meir, two Edim can be mechaiv you a chatas. And then the Gemara says, fine, that's good for chatas, but what about asham? And then the Gemara answers, asham, hainu karban. So there are a few little lines, a few words in the Gemara here that are just very difficult to read. What did the Gemara think and what did the Gemara answer? Right? It sounds like the Gemara thought that even if chatas can be obligated all day, edim, asham, requires piv. And then it sounds like the Gemara answered, not true. Asham is also a karban. Asham is like chatas. Tosas here, Dirmavas Asham Hainu Karban, discusses the problem and suggests that really it's two deos. It depends on two deos in the Gemara. Whether you'd be mechalek between Asham and chatas or not. And that kufa is a machlokas. The Ramban, however, is a very strong formulation. Ramban says, no, everybody seems to agree that Asham is different than chatas. And he goes on to explain that when it comes to chatas, the mechayev is the maisa aveira. And therefore, if you have two edim who are made that you violated the aveira, so then you're chayev to bring a korban chatas, whether you want to admit it or not. Because we know that you did the maisa aveira, and objectively, that triggers it. However, when it comes to asham, where the Torah uses the expression of the hisvada, so the hodah is part of the mechayev. The Ramban goes on to say, even if Eliyahu HaNavi himself would come and establish unequivocally that there was an achilas, let's say there was an asham mi'ilos infraction here, nonetheless, if the guy is at Moda, you wouldn't bring it. That's the Ramban. So, and that's, what does the Gemara say when it says asham hainu karban? So the Ramban had comes up with a chiddush that in a way what it means is that if Shnayim Edim are made that you violated, so that constitutes the equivalent al pidin of hodas baldin. I mean, you can't deny it anymore. When you hear two Edim establishing that you did it, as much as you're in denial psychologically or what otherwise, knowing that the Edim, you know, are attesting to your infraction, to your transgression, that in itself, that's already the awareness, that's the equivalent of hodas. So you need hodas piv even in Asham, says the Ramban. You always need Hodas Piv in Asham. The only thing is that, like Karban, Hodas Edim is like Hodas Piv. Not both are effective, but it actually has a din, I think that's what the Ramban means, of Hodas Piv. Yeah. So it seems to be that he's making a general statement, and that we're learning this from Karban, even applying it to Asham. Not that this is a din and asham alone. The din and asham alone, as opposed to chatas, is that you need personal hodah as a mechayev. The Ramban is trying to, you know, explain how can it be that you need personal hodah and we're still going to be mechayev y'all, you need even when you deny it. So he's saying what we learn from other contexts is that edus is the equivalent of personal. The chiddush is that edim can sometimes be undeniable, and then it constitutes the equivalent of tziruf to an act of hodah. But that doesn't seem to be a chiddush in Asham. That's a chiddush even in Asham.
You know, that's not clear from other children.
It's not clear at all. Right. Not clear at all in other children.
In terms of the conflict of Hodas Baldin Amos.
Between?
Hodas Baldin
Amos. Yeah, right, exactly. So, I mean, clearly we're not holding Hodas. Yeah, okay. So, this is the other dream. Normally we ask whether Hodas Baldin is like Amos. Here we're asking whether Amos is like Hodas Baldin. Right, in the context of Asham. That's not obvious at all. Again, the Ritva speaks about this as well. Also some formulations in that Sugya and Bambitziya that are important. Again, it might very much be highlighting the idea that in Asham it's about the Gavra. In Asham it's about, you know, his rectifying his... Again, it's triggered by a particular experience, but it's all about, you know, Tshuva Sagavra, Kapara Sagavra, etc. And therefore his self-awareness or imposed self-awareness for the Ramban is crucial, as opposed to chatas, where it's a question of information, but the ma'isa aveira always is mechayev you, a karban. And I think that's an interesting perspective. And the fact that, again, the Sugyan Shabbos stuff, Ayin Beis, and Tosin Shabbos, the question of lachar afrasha, which is the Gemara's Safek and Ola, But according to some readings of Tosis, is part of the discussion of the Gemara about Asham as well, right? Shifcha Charufa, whether or not there can be a La'achar Afrasha, I think may also point in that direction. Okay. We're just going to move quickly to the last few things to say the following. Okay, yeah, let's finish up with these. I think there are several issues that require much more exploration, but we just don't have time for them, but at least to bring them to your attention. Okay. Number one, the relationship between all of the Ashams. As we mentioned, there is some question whether or not the Asham Mitzora and Asham Nazir, as well as Asham Talui, belong together with Shifcha Charufa and Shavuot Hapikadon and Asham Gzeilus. Most of the Rishonim, or all the Rishonim, as far as I know, have Asham Talui as a separate mitzvah. Other indications that it's part of the list, including the Parsha in Vayikra, as well as we discussed, the question of Nitan Neder Nadava, and other such things. But what about Asham Mitzora and Asham Nazir and the others? They're also Asham Ozvadai, are they on the list or not? So the Rambam counts them separately. He has Me'ilat Pikadon, Shifcha Charufa, and Mitzvah Ayin. And in the context of Mitzora and Nazir, he mentions Asham together with the Chatos and so on. The Smag, on the other hand, and the Chinuch, Smag and Reish Adawa, the Chinuch and Kukav Ches, have all the Ashamim together. I think that is very important. To what extent do we look at Asham Mitzora, Asham Nazir, right, as also reflecting on this whole issue. When it comes to the independent mitzvah, Hakravas Asham, it's interesting that even the Rambam in Mitzvah Samechei has everything together, understandably. Alakoyim, Lahakri, V'asham, and there we refer to everything. Again, that has to do with the technical act of Hakrava more than the Mechai. I think it's an important issue. As we said, the idea that you would bring that a Mitzora, that a Nazir has multiple dimensions of his Chiyuv, and therefore that triggers an obligation that is multiple as well. There's a Chatas aspect, there's an Ola aspect, maybe there's an Asham aspect, I think highlights this question. Now, having said that, it's possible that there also might be an important Chiluk between Nazir and Mitzora. I think there's a lot of evidence that Asham, as opposed to Chatas, is more central in Mitzora, and that Chatas is much more central, and Asham's role is extremely downsized in the context of Nazir. And it could be because Nazir is more about Chet, Mitzora, or at least a more Maisa-oriented kind of a phenomenon, whereas Mitzora is more multifaceted. Let me explain what I mean, or how this is expressed. The number one, there's a question in all of these cases, both in terms of the Chatos and the Asham. How do we look at Chatos, let's say, Nazir, Chatos Yoledes, Chatos Mitzora? As we already know, it's a real Chatos. It's not so obvious that it's Baal HaChet. Right, to what extent, like in the world of Chatos also, as we know, we want to break out the classic Chatos Kelev. On the other hand, there's Chatos Nachshon. Then there's the Chatos of the Moadim. Right? Are they really L'shem Kapara and Chet? And then there's the Chatos, like Yoledes, Nazir, Mitzora, etc. Are they really Chatos? Are they more like, as the Gemara itself says sometimes, they're more like Olos? Is there a Kapara aspect to them or not? Again, in their hakrava, they're treated like chatas. In their character, what is going on? And certainly, one could also be mechalek between the various ones, and we're not going to break them all down. But anything that's more oriented, obviously, to either kapara or to a specific focus or narrow maisa, triggered by narrow maisa of some sort, the chatas is going to be more chatas-like, etc. By the same token, in same question, parallel question can be asked about Asha. if Hashem is generally Bala Chaper, is it still Bala Chaper in the context of Nazir and Metzora? And is it dependent on whether Chatas is? Or maybe you can be Mechalek Tafka between Chatas and Hashem in these issues, both in the role that Hashem, let's say, plays versus Chatas, in terms of Kapara, and in general. It could be that more that you're interested in a Makshir, as opposed to a Mechaper, the more Hashem is also going to be a central piece. The more you're interested in something, you need a Mechaper, the Chatas. And that's why I think the evidence, again, I'm sorry to do this so quickly, but I think the evidence may point that in Nazir, it's more about Chatas, in a particular Maisa, in particular narrower issues, and therefore the Hashem is practically invisible. When it comes to Metzora, it's exactly the opposite. It's more about Hashem than it is about Chatas. So let me just talk about this for 2 or 3 minutes very quickly. The Mishnah on Tzadi, let me talk about the Tosas on Pei Tes Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah on Tzadi Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Pei Tes, and the Tosas on Pei Tes Amud Aleph, Hashem Kodem Letoda the El Nazir Ibneshu Kanche Kadashi. Paul says, Hadlok, Amar Tama Ibneshu Humaratza, Mishim the Ika Hashem Nazir, but Hashem Mitzara, the Ain Boy Lachaper Allahakshir. Kid Amar, this is a very important sugya for that, Parakama de Menachos. Miu Gabe Chatas, Ka Amar Tama de Meratza, Hafal Gab the Ika Nami Chatas Nazir, the Chatas Mitzara, the Ain Boy Lachaper. Paul says, asking the question, how come when it comes to it comes to Hashem, right? We're reticent to say that it's Meratza because of the presence of Hashem Nazir and Hashem Metzora. But when it comes to we say it's Meratza vis-a-vis other things, even though there's also Chatas Nazir and Chatas Metzora. Dein boin la kaper el lahakshir. Kedekamer perakama hani olos ninu. Ishlamar de la sogile v'tayim ed Meratza, mishmim tor de el Nazir mekudashim, detunin lechem, technical answer. I think this highlights the problem, though, twofold. Is it possible to be mechalek, to answer Tosa's question a different way, that when it comes to Chatas, again, Chatas Metzora, Chatas Nazir, they don't reflect the nature of Chatas. They're exceptions to Chatas. But when it comes to Hashem, right, there are so few Hashemos. Half of the Hashemos, practically, I mean, between Hashem Talui and Metzora and Nazir, right. It's hard to say, oh, that doesn't, there's Hashem, and then Mitzvah and Nasir, that's a difference, Hashem in name only. That's number one. Number two, the whole point is that Hashem is this more complex status. So on the contrary, its role in Nazir and Mitzvah actually really characterizes what it is. Right. Moreover, when it comes to Chatas is Meratzah. Right, so that's what the nature of Chatas is. Hashem may be Meratza, but as we've explained, it's the character of Hashem is really Hashmas Agabra, more closely aligned with Ola. Therefore, in the context where it's about being Machshir, it's more about being Machshir than it is about being Meratza. So what I'm suggesting is, it's not, there are two issues to distinguish the role of Chatas and the role of Hashem in these cases. One is, to what extent these cases reflect on the general category, and the other is the extent to which the Hashem is playing its normal role and Chatas is playing its normal role. By the same token, so when you look at the Mishnah on Tzadi on the base, the Mishnah says, Kol Chatos Shebetorah Kodamas La'ashamos Chutz Me'asham Mitzora Shehu Bal Hechsher. This Mishnah says a remarkable thing, that when it comes to the relationship between Chatas and Hashamos, Hashem is Kodan L'Chatas when it comes to Mitzora. Not when it comes to Nazir, by the way. Tosas here discusses, Yom Tomer Adarabba, Chatas Mitzora Adif Dachshira Yom Mechaper. What do you mean because it's Machshir? Right? Chatas is also Machshir in addition to being Mechaper. And on the contrary, in the previous Tosas we said that, you know, maybe it's really not Meratza at all. But if anything, certainly machshir. The Yeshlamar kiven the matan bahonos midama asham have chashiv le machshir tvei. Inami hay kol chatos. Shabatari diktani lav chatos aba ima asham ela b'shar chatos. So the first answer is important. Could be just exeris akasim. After all, the hechshir of asham mitzora is more pronounced. But it could be that's for a reason. It could be because this is the whole point, that the idea of mitzora is really an asham halacha more than a chatas halacha by its nature, that type of kapara or non-kapara, etc. Now the second answer of Tosis is that in general Mishnah doesn't mean what it says here. It means that if you have to bring a chatas and you have to bring an asham mitzora after you brought the chatas mitzora, then you bring the asham mitzora first. That still speaks to the prominence of asham mitzora, but not vis-a-vis chatas mitzora. The Rashash and others point out mitzvahs and Rashash here have interesting pieces. You should look at them. I just don't have time to go through it right now. They point out, of course, this seems to be against the Sugya Menachos Tafiyah and Aleph. Sugya Menachos seems to be clear that Chatas Asham, Chatas Mitzora has to be brought after Asham Mitzora. Tosis in Menachos suggests that there might be a difference between Hafrasha and Akrava. Maybe you could have the Chatas of Mitzora Hufrash Kodem le Asham Mitzora, but the Akrava has to be Asham Kodem. So you have different Shitos, whether this halacha exists at all, whether it applies to Hafrasha. Others say, even in Hafrasha, the Mitzora, the Asham Mitzora has to come before the Chatas Mitzora. But I think the point may be that the reason that this would be so, as reflected also by the Matan Bahonos, is that Mitzora is an Asham type halacha, and the Chatas is part of the, you know, larger picture, but the real Mechayev is the Mitzora. And that, again, is in keeping with our discussion about Olam Chatas, if you recall. Right? We pointed out that, you know, that there's an exception to the rule that Chatas is always Kodem to Ola, right? Yoledes, L'mikra, is it L'maisa, or we pointed out the other example, Chatas, the Tzibor, rather, of Odezara. The point is that when there's a kedima, shalom, you know, kedin, an exceptional kedima, what it highlights is always that that is unique to that particular character of that particular offense. And that's what we're being told, is that in the context of mitzora, certainly the role of asham is more central than that of chatos, as reflected by these zine kedima, etc. Gemara Menachos also tells us that dafka asham mitzora requires nesachim. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos explains that that is true because it's balacha, it's not balachaper. It's a regular asher, which is primarily balachaper. There's no nesachim, just like there's no nesachim for achatas. But asher mitzora is different. It's balahakshir. It's the makshir of that korban. And that, of course, is very important. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samach, Beis on Beis, tells us that asher and ola shel mitzora mitzvasan sheyu shavin. So again, that would seem to be consistent with the idea that there's that the asham side, you know, vis-a-vis or in contrast to the chata side, you know, is more ola-esque, one could say, and that's why there's a ilachatchila on that line. On the other hand, when it comes to as a nazir, there we have all sorts of indications that maybe the asham is not even ma'akev. Through Shalmi, in Nazir seems to speak about, you know, the asham as being something which is superfluous, etc. So that the whole configuration of chatas asham between mitzora and nazir may be fundamentally different. Okay, let me just say a few more words just about the relationship between chatas and asham across some other issues. And then, then we'll finish up. Yediyah Sachet. We know that when it comes to Chatas, there's a requirement of Yediyah Sachet in advance of the Korban. And not only that, but a very specific Yediyah Sachet. You have to know the type, the particular Chet that you violated. That's the Mishnah in Krisus after Tesselman Aleph. It's not enough to know that Mimonav Shach, I violated Dover Sheish Bizdono Kareis of Shigas of Chatas. You have to know the specific label. As I know that I eat either chelev or dam. Not enough. Even though both chelev and dam is mechayev your karba. You have to know it was chelev or you have to know that it was dam. Which, by the way, works very nicely with the again, Rambam's psak about lishma and the idea that chelev and dam being different lishmas as well. That's the pirut, the specificity, the targeted character of what it is that you're trying to be mechaper, and that's illustrated by this halacha when it comes to chatas. On the other hand, when it comes to asha, there's a debate whether you even, is there such a parallel halacha? It doesn't seem so. There's even a debate whether or not you actually have to have yediyah kodem. Again, maybe you can have the yediyah la'achar hafrasha. Possibly, this is the machlokas in the Mishnah and Priestess Daf Chav Beis Amid Aleph, whether asham vadai requires hodah b'tchila, or the discussion of the Gemara and Shabbos, ayin aleph amid beis, ayin beis amid aleph, as it's understood by some. But again, the possible contrast between chatas and asham. Chatas, you have to know exactly the details, the ma'isa aveira, it's all about the ma'isa aveira. In asham, it's triggered by a certain experience, whether or not that knowledge can be later, or can be mimanav shacht, or it requires a specific, again, how ola-esque, to say it that way, is asham, may be reflected by some of these krisis type issues. By the same token, there seems to be a debate in the Mishnah of Akiva and Chachamim, is there an asham, the concept of an asham talui for an asham badai? That's asham talui is for a chatas. If you have a suffix whether you violated a chatas, you bring an asham talui. Let's say you have a suffix whether you violated an asham badai. Do you bring an asham talui? So again, the Mishnah increases Chav Beis Amidalev seems to discuss that. There might be other explanations as well, but it could very well be. Again, if there's an objective Maisa Veira, that's, suffix turns then into an asham, it's one thing. But if you have a suffix, asham, just like the Ramban's comment about, Hodah, it could be that this is a fundamental difference between asham and chatas. These are at least, I'm just trying to show, there are different areas of the parallels, both to Ola and to Chatas, which should be examined. By the same token, when it comes to Chatas, it's interesting that there's in certain cases, the Kohen HaMashiach, the Nasi, right, have a special din. The Bezdin, right, the Parham Davar Shol Tzibor, right, these are all special dinim. The question is, do they apply or not to Asha? So these are sugyas in Horios, Zayin Min Aleph, Chesem Min Aleph, Tesem Min Aleph. None of these dinim apply to Asha. Could just be Xaris HaKasim. Some of them are derived from the word Hanefesh, Nefesh referring to every individual without distinction, no special status for a Nasi or a Kohen Gadol or a Melech, etc. And no din of Tzibor. It could be it's Xaris HaKasim, or what it says is that when it comes to Asham is a highly, again, personal. Your stated status in life is not important. There's no such thing as a collective asham. Asham is about the personal experience, as I was suggesting, about why it's not included in the parsha of the Nesi'im, etc., or maybe in the Smicha. It's different. There's no din of Bezin, etc. Rashi and Zayin Amid Aleph, to explain there's no din of... I should just add, when it comes to the question of Melech and Kohen Mashiach, etc., so the Gemara Horias, Tesem and Aleph, derives it from V'hanefesh. The Yerushalmi has a different limud, just in light of everything. Misha chayev chatas, chayev asham. Based on kachatas ka'asham. It's a little bit ironic. Kachatas ka'asham, which is Rabbi Lazar's connection between asham and chatas, according to the Yerushalmi, is the makar that every individual brings. The individual chatas is across the board in asham. I'm not quite sure why it's a good Limud, but it's an ironic, because we're comparing asham to every man's chatas, all asham to every man's chatas. That's the limud as opposed to a nefesh. Anyways, in terms of bezdin, so Rashi in one place says it's based again on nefesh ki techeta, but Rashi in Zayin Amid Aleph says that the reason that there's no din of bezdin is because it's zadon kishgaga. And when it comes to this halacha, there's a din of asham is zadon kishgaga. And therefore, there's no special din of Bezdin. So it's just interesting to note, this is, I think it's a few places, the Rashash says it's just not factually true. It's not true that every Asham is Zadon Kishoke. So this, of course, brings us to the Ramban. Right? The Ramban, Al-Torah, when he was talking about, you know, what's the connection between Olav Yored and Hashem, and why is Hashem different than Chatos, and why that phrase, and you know, it's more chamor, all of these things. Hello? In a couple minutes. Okay? Yeah, I'll be... Right, I'll be over in a few minutes. So the point is that the... the Ramban already makes, you know, reference to this. I mean, it's not a... B'chada machta, but I think the point, you know, the lumdus, I guess, is that even if it isn't true about every asham that zadon is kishkaga for various reasons, but the idea of asham is the idea of zadon kishkaga, meaning it isn't the maisa veira, it's the, you know, experience or what this action reflects or what it triggers in terms of, again, relating in a more transcendent way to the gavra. And as such, since that is true, so mimela, the factor of zadon kishkaga can be part of the explanation. Well, this has nothing to do with it's not a bezin thing. It's a personal, you know, rishas hagavra idea. You can't have that across the collective or the collectivity of bezin, and there's no stature issues, etc. So I think some of these horios sugyas may be relevant as well. And then finally, I guess I'll finish off with this. This one line, one final point. And that is Mufla Samach Le'ish. I think I also put on the Marmakamos. The Gemara says, Anida, Mem Bam and Beis, and Mufla Samach Le'ish, while there's Neder, Nidro Neder, and there's Bayachel, and there's Malkis, but there's no Asham Be'ilos for Mufla Samach Le'ish. That's based on Gemara Sankasiv. And that too is just a remarkable, hello, why no Asham Be'ilos if there is Layachel, and there is a Shem Karban, etc.? The Mishnah Malach and Hukas Nadarim, Perikin Av Halacha Hey, just points out that the Rambam omitted this din. He doesn't quote it anywhere. The Minchas Chinuch has a safek whether it applies to Chomesh or not. But I think once again one could suggest that Asham Me'ilos is an Asham. Again, it's as a Chatas, if there's a Maisa Veira, then there's a Maisa Veira. But just like Shivcha Charufa, we have different dinim of Chatar. Could be Lechula, could be Lechumra. But the point is that the perspective of Asham is just different. And therefore it's possible that maybe there would even be Chomesh, but that Asham requires a certain Gavra level of Baal, just like we said about Zadon Kishkaga, and a certain level of Das, that is considered Asham or Shimamon, as the Ramban considers it. And for that reason, maybe Mufla Samach Le'ish, the special din, that it doesn't have Asham Me'ilos is really a reflection of the nature of Asham itself. Okay, we'll have to stop here because I've got to run, but I want to wish you all a wonderful end of summer. I say it's really been a special privilege, and you know, I hope you'll continue with the Kachim and all the other extra limudim. But as you can see, it's really just an amazingly rich world. I think if no other reason, just, you know, having the opportunity to learn a little bit of something which we're not familiar with has just a powerful impact. So this in the past, in terms of demystifying, you know, that area of Torah, and it shows us that we're capable of penetrating and understanding, and that there are tremendous dividends to be gained. You know, again, you know, Vayikra is never going to be the same. You know, whether the particular pshat is right or wrong, it doesn't really matter so much, but you know, just you know, once one is exposed to some of these questions and the Shach and the Tires of the Gemara and the Rishonim, so you know, every time you encounter Ola and Asham and Lishma and the different Avodos, it just, you know, has a different meaning, as is true for all aspects of Torah. So for that alone, I think it's a tremendously valuable thing, and wish everybody to be Aleva Hatzlach and Mikhail Lafay. Because he's still there. He must see all the labor.